Praise God indeed. Holy is his name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Karen. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I just feel a sense of awe. Just that good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our midst today. And as we look at your word, show us where you would have us move from to where you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we are in part two of our series, Why Care About People? Last week, Pastor Toby preached on God calls us to do it. Next week, Pastor Kelly will preach on there's a limited time to do it. And today I'm going to preach on because we can choose to do it. Now, how many of you have discovered that people can cause you a lot of headaches? How many of you have ever had the experience of saying, I'm not going to have anything else to do with that person? I'm not going to have anything else to do with that group of people. You thought about it. Now, even though you may feel it and you may think about it, how many of you know God doesn't give it to us as an option? The option has been taken away from us because God cares about people. He cares about their physical being, their emotional being, and their spiritual being as well, especially their spiritual well-being. Now, sometimes we can look at things and we can see how bad things are and we can feel like God just need to do something. He just need to do something. How many of you done tried to sick God on people before? God, you just need to do something with them. Okay. All right, so I want you to know, though, as bad as things seem to be, it's not the first time they've been like that. In our Old Testament reading, we saw God about to do something to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were actually pretty wealthy cities. As a matter of fact, the people that lived in the city, for the most part, were so well off, they didn't want poor people in their cities. It was illegal in Sodom to help somebody who was looking for a handout. It was illegal to help people who were poor. And then on the flip side of that, it was perfectly legal for there to be gangs of men who would just wait for a man to enter the city of Sodom so that they could rape him. Now, that was legal. Now, God said, wouldn't have been visiting that city. God said, what is happening? The sin in Sodom is so bad that it is screaming out, God, send your judgment. And so God said, I'm going to send a couple of angels down there just to find out, is it really as bad as it seems like it's going to be? And so God was going to send, he was sending two or three guys to see if he could find 50 righteous people in the city. God said, even with all the mess that they are doing, if I can just find 50 righteous people, I'm going to spare the whole city. And so as they were on their way to do this, they said, well, you know, Abraham is a friend of God. Maybe we ought to at least tell him what we're going to do. So they went and they told Abraham that God was going to Sodom, and if he could find 50 righteous people, if they could find them, then he would spare the city. And Abraham must have knew how bad Sodom was, and he wasn't sure God was going to be able to find 50. So he said, well, what if you only find 45? And God said, all right, for the sake of the 45, I'll let the city go. And Abraham said, well, I don't mean to impose, but what if you only find 40? God says, okay, for the 40. Abraham was thinking, but they still, what if you can only find 30? Would you save it for the 30? And God says, okay, I'll do it for the 30. And Abraham said, don't think I'm being bold or anything, but what if you only find 20? Would you save it for 20? And God says, all right, for the sake of the 20, I will do it. And Abraham says, well, God, what if there's only 10 of them there? And he said, for the sake of the 10, I will leave the city alone. And Abraham thought surely he could find 10. Next morning, Abraham woke up and looked down towards Sodom, and it was like this mushroom cloud had gone up. You know, we think that we developed nuclear bombs, but how many of you know God knew how to split atoms long before we did? So you see this smoldering blaze with fire and brimstone falling, and the city of Sodom is completely destroyed. But I want you to notice, God tried to do everything he could to keep it from being destroyed. So out of those thousands and thousands and thousands of people, if he could have just found 10 people who were trying to do right, the rest of them would have been spared. You see, every day people die who don't know the Lord. And for every last one that does, it breaks the heart of God. Now, as much as God wants us to know him and to serve him, God will not make us obey him. God has too much respect for our freedom to try to force us to worship him. He respects us too much. But God loves us too much not to warn us of the consequences of what eventually is going to happen. And God says, we are on a road to destruction. Now, some of us may be feeling, because we are not as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, we still are going to make it in. You know, when people sing that song at funerals, I've had my good days and my bad days, and my good days outweigh my bad days. Sometimes it be giving people the impression that as long as you got more good days than bad days, you all right. There ain't that many days on the calendar. I mean, you know, you done got so many. How many you can actually say how many days you went without sinning? Yeah, so when it comes to sin, our sinful days outweigh our good days by 99%. God says, there is nothing you can do about your situation. But I love you so much. I am going to do all I can to make sure you get saved. I'm coming down myself through the form of my son, Jesus Christ. I am going to pay for your sins by dying on a cross and suffering the pain for them. I am going to die and be buried to pay the penalty for your sin, because the wages of sin is death. I am going to rise again from the dead to show that I have conquered death. And because I live, you shall live also. Okay? That is the message of the gospel. And he says, if you believe that what I have done has applied to your life, you shall be saved. And the scripture goes on to say, there is salvation in no other name. Okay, so if you're trying to come up with your own plan, you are going to be in trouble. Now, how many of you know that God loved you enough to send somebody to find you? None of us was just sitting on a tree one day, and as we were thinking, pow, the gospel hit us, and we understood it. No, every one of us had somebody come along to tell us about Jesus. And you know something? Since we've been with Jesus, we know that Jesus is more than just a ticket to heaven. Amen? We know that Jesus has set some of us free from some very destructive behaviors. Amen? We know what we used to be and what we are now. Amen? We also know that Jesus is still working on us. Amen? And some of us real glad he's still working on some of us. Amen? We also know that our life is more rewarding because of Jesus. And we owe it to God caring for us and somebody else coming along being willing to tell us. Now, in our New Testament reading, Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two fishermen, Simon and Andrew. And when he saw Simon and Andrew, he didn't just see two ordinary fishermen. He saw two people that if they hooked up with him could change the world. And we need to ask, what does Jesus see when he looks at us? What does he see? He sees a person with all kind of power and authority if that person would just hook up with him. Jesus gave a challenge to Andrew and Simon that day. He said, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Okay, they had been fishing for what? Fish. But Jesus says, I am going to give you an upgrade in your life. We got to move from fish to people. We're going to move from something that just lasts a little while to something that's going to last forever. All of us, you know, are trying to catch something with our life. How many of you would rather it be something worthwhile? You see, some of the stuff that we're trying to catch, when we get it, it's not going to do what we thought. How many of you know there was a time in Cleveland when we thought if we just caught LeBron James, championship would be in our midst? We caught him, and we're still looking. And LeBron thought, if I just catch the Miami Heat, championship will be in our midst. He caught it. And he got just as many rings as he did when he left us. What are we spending our lives trying to catch? It could be success. It could be beauty. It could be fame. It could be money. It can be golf. It can be the stories. It can be leisures. It can be sports. It can be pleasure. What are we giving our life to? I was watching this program one night, and Halle Berry came on, and she said she remembered that moment when she realized she had finally reached success. And she said, and before I could really enjoy it, I started to think, oh my goodness, what do I have to do to keep it? So even when we reach it, I mean, you know, it's just there for a short time before somebody is looking to take it away. We can be thinking, you know, when I obtain, when I get that, When I finally do this, then my life is going to have meaning. Jesus says, I've got something much more rewarding. Why not just hook up with me and let's go fishing for people? Why fish for people? Because people matter to God. And people have no hope without God. And people are the only thing you see that the word of God says are going to last forever. You know, a thousand years from today, none of us are going to be breathing on this planet. But what will we be thinking about? How many of you know none of us are going to be thinking about how many games we went to, how many contests we won, how much money we made? We will be thinking about how many people we took to heaven with us. Or we will be thinking about how many opportunities we had to do something for Christ that we didn't choose. Or we will be thinking about all the opportunities we had to give our lives to Christ and we let them pass by. Jesus was inviting the disciples to join the team to bring people back to God. They were to come and to follow. The scripture says they left their nets at once and went after Jesus. Jesus walked up the shore a little bit further and he saw the brothers James and John, gave them the same challenge. Scripture says they left and they also came. Now I want you to notice that when Jesus called, he called with a specific intent. He said, come, do what? Follow me and I will send you to fish for people. So we were called to follow him and we were called to get ready to be sent to fish for people. Okay, so he did not say, come and follow me and do as you please. He did not say, come and follow me and do nothing else. He didn't say, come and follow me and get rich. He said, come and follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. Now, we need to come to follow him first because he's got to shape us into something that the fish are going to be attracted to. All right? So we need to come be with them a little bit so that when the fish see us coming, they don't take off and run away. So the first step is to follow. That means allow God to work through you in the same way he worked through Jesus. Paul put it this way, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How many of you can use more of that mind? All right. Now, when Jesus sends us out, we've got to be willing to open our mouths at some point. Some people say, well, I just let my light shine and that's enough. How many of you know none of us live quite that holy that when we walk down the street, everybody says, whoo, there go God. Whoo. It just doesn't happen that way. And not only that, Jesus coming, crucifixion, burial, death, resurrection are historical facts. Since they are events, somebody has to tell you that this happened. So if I'm working with Debbie and she's living for the Lord, I don't care how hard I look at her, I don't see Jesus was crucified. Jesus was, at some point you got to say something about what Jesus was doing. Now, evangelism is part living and part talking. Now, sometimes we need to do the living before we can do the talking. Sometimes all we're going to get a chance to do is to live, and sometimes all we're going to get a chance to do is to speak because of what the circumstances may be at that given moment. Evangelism is helping people move from here to there in God. You ain't got to do the whole thing every time you see somebody. If you can just move them a little bit closer, assume that God is already at work in another person's life. How many of you know God was at work in you before you got saved? Okay, somebody else was looking at you and thought you was the devil, but God was at work working in you before you got saved. So assume that. Now, evangelism is something as simple as this. Somebody on the job says, man, I'm just really struggling in my life right now. Evangelism says, you know, when I find difficult struggles in my life, I find that God is a great source of help to me. If the person says, oh, that's all right, I don't want to hear about God, what do you say? You know, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You just change the subject, okay? You've put in that word. It's there. You're right, relying on God. If the person says to you, oh, really, what do you mean by that? Then you tell them a little bit more about what you mean. Don't immediately whip out all 24 laws to tell them. When I was having a real difficult time, I found that coming to church and praying and really seeking after God made a difference for me. See if the fish bite a little bit more, okay? The more they bite, the more you speak. When they quit biting, you quit speaking, all right? So you look for little opportunities because your job is to drop it in. You're just dropping it in and you keep on moving, all right? And you kind of see what the fish is doing. Now Jesus says, I am the one and I will send you, which means we got plenty of opportunities to fish. The question is, are we taking them? We know that Jesus is calling for other people. We know their lives could be changed. We know they'd go to heaven if they gave their life to Christ. We're thankful that somebody was sent to fish for us and they were willing to come when Jesus told them to come. And you would think that because of all this, we would be eager to fish for people. Now, what would you think of a fisherman who went out to Lake Erie, borrowed Frank's boat, had his rod, his reel, his net, his bait, got out on the lake, turned the motor on, went about 100 yards offshore, and he got out there and he started to pray, Lord, send some fish to get in this boat. And he prayed all day, Lord, send some fish to get in this boat. And then what did he do? You got something for me there, brother? Oh, praise God for the saints that's always looking out. Hallelujah. And he rode back home and he complained that them fish too hard to catch. What would you think? You think he was a dummy? Why? He didn't use what he had. But realistically, how many of us are like that fisherman? How many of us pray each week, Lord, send some people into Glenville? Instead of praying, Lord, use me to fish for people for Glenville. Most of us are praying that the fish are going to jump out the water into the boat. Let's be honest. But only 3% of guests who come to a church come uninvited. That means the other 97% was waiting for one of us to invite them. All right? Well, what keeps us from giving an invitation? What keeps us from giving an invitation? Fear. Oh, my goodness. And then the question is, what is it that we're really afraid of? Is it fear of rejection? I might say something to them and they reject me. Now, let me ask you this. How come we don't have that same fear of rejection problem when it comes to other things? If you are a Cleveland Browns fan, and you speak to someone in this church who is a Steeler fan, they will reject you in a minute. What do you do? Do you say, whew, I'll never speak of the Cleveland Browns again. No, you go right back on the offensive. I don't care what you say about your Steelers. Wait till the next time we meet. Then see, unfortunately we have to keep saying next time, but even though we've been beat and beat, we believe that next time. So why weren't we afraid of rejection then? Fear of they might ask me something about the Bible that I don't know? I mean, you know, people ask you stuff all the time that you don't know the answer to. What do you say? I don't know. Okay, so if somebody, well, how come God let people die over in China? I don't know. I'm trying to get you to heaven so you can ask him that yourself. Okay, a little humility on our part might go a long way. You want to know why God, let me help you get to heaven so we'll both ask him. Fear of imposing our views on others? I mean, you know, people impose their views on us all the time. How many during the election, how many of y'all got tired of the commercials? Every one of them commercials is trying to impose their view on you. We pay people to impose their views on us. How many of you got cable TV? Every program has a viewpoint that they are trying to impose on you. How many of you go to a movie? I know you y'all lie, just but when you go to a movie, you are paying somebody to impose their view on you. You ever been in a movie where you felt sorry for the guy who was cheating on his wife because of the way they did the story and just made her so wicked and evil that she deserved to get that? All because we let somebody impose their view on us. Fear that somebody might say, well, you just using religion as a crutch. Do you know anybody that does not have a crutch in life? For some, it's a bottle. For some, it's drugs. For some, it's money. For some, it's fame. For some, it's popularity. You take them things away from them and they crumble like nobody's business. If I'm going to have a crutch, I'm at least glad I got a crutch that's everlasting. I'm glad I got a crutch that's going to stand no matter what. I'm glad I got a crutch that I can really depend on. Fear of somebody might attack us. Now let me ask you this. When was the last time you read in the Plain Dealer, two Presbyterians knocked on somebody's door to give them some literature from their church, and the person came out in a terrific rage and beat them up badly? How many of y'all have seen that article? How many of y'all know you are not going to be the first one it happened to? About the worst thing that's going to happen when you knock on the door is somebody is going to look and say, I don't want nothing from you Jehovah Witnesses. And you can say, praise God, I don't either. I'm from Glenville New Life Community Church. That's about the worst that's going to happen to you. Okay, so all those great fears in Bible study you're going to read this week where Peter and John are told, look, if y'all preach anymore in the name of Jesus, we're going to have to beat the living daylights out of you. And Peter said, well, we got to do what God told us to do. Y'all do what y'all got to do. How many of you know we're not even close to nothing like that? And some of you already unsaid, and you're like, Pastor Rick, you can say what you want to say, but I just. The church exists to have people who are willing to fish for other people. Because somebody came fishing for us. Pray for our boldness to say, I'm from Glenville. Can I leave this information with you? Pray for our boldness to say, here's a card from my church. You can find help here. Every week, Charles Mulls, the brother takes him a handful of cards out of this church and just passes them out at the bus stop. If you run into Charles, you're going to hear about Glenville. You know, if you go to a football game, especially if it's the home team, before the game starts, a lot of times the players will come running out from the locker room and they'll get to the 50-yard line and there'll be this great big huddle of them at the 50, and those in the back will be jumping up on the backs of those in the front and they'll just be yelling and screaming, and sometimes they'll even all stop for a moment and take a knee and bow down, and then after that, it's like, ah! And they all run back to the sideline all fired up. What would you think if after they did that, they got to the sidelines and went to the locker room and went home? You'd say, wait a minute, you forgot the most important part of the game, which was to get in the game. I wonder how often does God see us like that? We the 8:30 team. Come on, y'all. Hey, we all come together. We sing, we pray. We ready for him. We ready for him. We ready for him. And then service is over. We forget we're supposed to play in the game. So we wait till next Sunday. Hey! And we get in on it. Hey, hey, hey! Cheerleaders cheer us on. The band root us on it. And we do the same thing. How many of you know we need some players during the week? We need some players on Saturdays when we really are going to go out in the game. Now, we got a list back there of things we need for you to sign up for. Your pastor's not quite as young as we used to be. We can't hit as many houses as we did one time. We need more of y'all to help us hit some houses. Because he didn't say, come and I will make you pastors to be fish, go fish for people. He gave that call to all of us. Who are the people God is calling you to fish for? How many of you remembered to pray for the people of the names you turned in this week? If you didn't, it ain't too late to start. Looking for somebody to join, to invite. Let's quit expecting fish to just jump out of the water and into our boat. Start throwing the nets and the rods and the reel out. Why? Because God cares for people. But God leaves it up to us, for us to choose to care for them. There's a lot of people out there that need to come home. Are you willing to go fish to show them the way back? Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord. God, we thank you. And somebody said, yes, Lord, I'll go fish for him. I'll go fish for her. And we thank you, God, that when you sent fishermen to us, we were hooked. And today we call ourselves no longer fish, but children of God. May we have that desire, oh Lord, to at least want to be used to be fishers of men and of women, boys and of girls. Show us how you are at work, and we might make ourselves available to you. In Jesus' name, amen.